Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNradio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
You're listening to QLJNradio.com.
The Hot New Q.
It's time for Final Authority, a biblically based program that speaks to questions from you, the listener, and addressing topics revealing truth and understanding of the scriptures in their appropriate context. The phone lines are open. If you'd like to speak to the host at any time during this live broadcast, dial 914-205-5481. Be sure to press 1. And now, here is the pastor of the Will of God Christian Center in Vallejo, California, Pastor Everett Robinson.
All right. Well, here we are again live, QLJNradio.com. This is the Final Authority. I am the host of the show, pastor and teacher, Ambassador Everett Robinson. I welcome you every Monday live. We are live every Monday, specific extended time from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., unless otherwise indicated. And we're going to proceed with our show dealing with the Hebrew Israelites versus biblical Christianity. And again, I am so delighted and privileged to have with us Dr. Reggie Smith, who I consider an honorable historian. And we're going to deal with the distinction between a Hebrew, Israelite, and a Jew. And Dr. Smith will be picking up on that, and we're going to proceed into the Word of God from there. Dr. Smith, again, I welcome you to the Final Authority.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Everett. It's such a blessing and an honor to be on the Final Authority. So thank you so much, and God bless.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Well, as I... normal custom is to always start out with a word of prayer, and then we'll go right into our subject matter. Father, we come before you in the holy, majestic name of your beloved Son, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. Father, we love you, we bless you, and we give you glory as being God in our lives. You are our Father, source, provider, and giver of life. We come washed in the blood of your Son, Jesus the Christ. We come robed in his righteousness, faith in his sacrificial, substitutionary, redemptive death and shed blood on that rugged cross, his burial and his resurrection from among the dead. And we confess Christ Jesus, your Son, as our Lord, Savior, and Redeemer. And Father, I thank you, God, for the word. We ask, God, you grant unto us all the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ and in the knowledge of the Holy Scriptures. May Christ be exalted. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so for the past couple of weeks, we have been dealing with some of the history of the what is called the Hebrew Israelites, and Dr. Smith had been covering some things relative to the Hebrew, the meaning of the word Hebrew, what it really means, and who was the first Hebrew as recorded in Scripture, and so on. And so he shared a lot of historical data dealing with Israel, dealing with the sufferings of Israel under the Pharaoh and their deliverance out of the Egyptian bondage and so on, and then comparing it to the claims of the so-called Hebrew Israelites, who claimed that that was speaking of them, and Scripture very clearly shows, if you look at, examine Scripture, you see that it was not referring to this group called the Hebrew Israelites. Now, we know that there are different branches or camps of the Hebrew Israelites. They have some overlapping doctrinal beliefs, but they do differ on some things also. But what I'm doing is basically I'm dealing with the Hebrew Israelites versus biblical Christianity. So I'll be dealing with that some a little later. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to basically open the floor and allow Dr. Smith to proceed with some of the information he shared previously as a recap, and then also share with us his studies and findings on the distinction between a Hebrew, an Israelite, and a Jew. All right, so Dr. Smith, if you would, you can go ahead and open up the floor on that, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor. I think it's very important that we understand this movement that is mainly in the black community, where it used to be many years ago. We had to contend with the Nation of Islam, which is a branch of the black nationalist movement. And all of a sudden, we now have this movement within the black community of the black Hebrew Israelites. And there are other movements within the black community. They have the Cushites and the Moors, and they try to claim that they are descendants of these different ancient African civilizations, which were not really in the area of the transatlantic slave trade of West Africa. These are northern and eastern countries in Africa, had nothing to do with Western West Africa, however. And so it's very important to understand the history of our own people and how that there are Jewish tribes in some parts of Africa, but how do we know which tribe that we are from? We don't even know until history, ancestry.com, what nation we're from. I did my background, my father did his background, rather, and he has some Nigerian in there. And so we know that most of us came from West Africa. However, how can we prove that we are a Jewish person, as they claim to be? Some claim to be Jews, and some reject being Jews and say, well, there are more tribes in the 12 tribes of Israel, so they just claim to be Hebrews. Okay, so we spoke about when they started, which is right after the Civil War in 1886. Frank Cherry started this movement because they can relate more with the suffering of the children of Israel in the Old Testament than they could with the Christians in the New Testament. So they identified more with their struggle. So thus they called themselves Black Hebrews. And this was more of a symbolic spiritual term, in my opinion, having no hereditary evidence that they were actually connected somehow to the ancient Hebrews of Mesopotamia, which is meaning two rivers around Iraq, Iran, and Syria, going, traveling down to the Fertile Crescent there, right there in Canaan, which is now modern Israel. That is not West Africa. Israel is in northeast, on the tip of northeast Africa, right on next to Egypt. However, that's geography. So what's the difference in being a Hebrew, Israelite, and a Jew? Some people don't know that there's a connection and there's a difference. And the difference is based upon the historical development of each group, where they developed at, and where they went, and where they resided when they ended up in their final destination. So we're looking at Abraham as being what is called the first Hebrew. You know, Abraham lived in Mesopotamia. He lived about 134 miles from ancient Babylonia in a place called Ur of the Chaldeans. The word Chaldea is a connection with ancient Babylon. Okay, and so God spoke to Abraham, and so we'll see Abraham the Hebrew, then the development of the Israelites, and finally the tribe of Judah. So over here in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 4, if you don't mind me just reading a portion of that.
Absolutely, please do.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Chapter 12, verse 1 through 4, and I don't think I will read the entire all the verses. However, it says, "The Lord said to Abraham, leave your nation, your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation there." Okay, so God is speaking to Abraham, or Abram at that time, and God told him to leave his land where he was and to travel somewhere else and get to another land, and he will make him a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. If you want to know further how God spoke to Abraham, you can read Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 through 6, where he further spoke to Abraham. However, continuing in verse 5, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Okay, from Haran. So here's the point. Abraham lived in Mesopotamia, which is considered now the Middle East. You have North Africa, which is Egypt, Libya, Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco, and right across the street, across the Mediterranean Sea from Egypt, is Turkey. It's in another land in that part of the world. And so Abraham was in Haran. Now, where's Haran at? Well, look in any encyclopedia, Google it, whatever. Haran is in Turkey. A part of Turkey stretches into Europe, but the larger part is in what we call today the Middle East, the Far East, so they call it the Middle East. So that's where Turkey is. So it was not in Northeast or Southeast or West Africa. It was in Mesopotamia, which is considered the Middle East. So Abraham leaves Haran, and he travels down, and actually he went through Lebanon, past Lebanon, through Syria, what is now Jordan, into what is called Canaan or modern-day Israel today. That's where he ended up at. However, let's look at the argument or when Stephen in the New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 1 through 4, where one of the minor disciples, when I say minor disciples, he was not part of the 12, but he was a follower of Jesus, and he was left in charge by the disciples and the apostles so they could do their evangelizing and preaching and teaching, etc. But Stephen was a preacher all his own, and he began to witness to the Jews. And the Jewish high court called the Sanhedrin, called him the court, and they persecuted him. And he began to preach to them. Listen to what Stephen says in Acts chapter 7, verse 1 through 4. Brothers and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. The word Mesopotamia, again, means the two rivers. We're talking about around Iraq, which is ancient Babylon, going all the way up to Turkey, Abraham, when he was in Mesopotamia, before he went into Haran, and said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans, which is ancient Babylon, where Iraq is now, and dwelt in Haran, which is in Turkey, not North Africa, not West Africa, or not East Africa or South Africa. Okay, so therefore we know Abraham left this area, and when he arrived in Genesis chapter 14, verse 13, he was confronted with a situation where he was about to go to battle. And one of the captives escaped from the enemy and came to Abraham and said this, Genesis chapter 14, verse 13. Then one who had escaped came to Abraham the Hebrew, for he dwelt by a tree in Mamre. Okay, look, Abraham the Hebrew. In Hebrew, it would be Ebrahim ha-Ivrim. Abraham ha-Ivrim. Now, he said, Abraham the Hebrew. Why the word Hebrew? This is the first time the word Hebrew, Ivrit, is used in the Bible. If it were not used, we would not be talking about Hebrews. So Abraham was the first Hebrew. He was from Mesopotamia. And the word Hebrew did not mean, at this time, listen very carefully, the word Hebrew at this time did not mean a people, a designated people group. It meant, the word Hebrew here, Ivrit, means from across the river. What rivers? The Tigris and Euphrates River. Where? In Mesopotamia, in the Middle East. So the word Hebrew became identified with a group of people called the Hebrews. So when Abraham introduced himself, he would probably say, "Ani Ibrahim ha'Ivrit," in Hebrew, "I am Abraham from across the river." Or if they saw Abraham, they would say, "Oh, that's Abraham, Ibrahim ha'Ivrit, that's Abraham from across the river. He's from over there." Okay? So people from Mesopotamia that were nomadic were usually called Ivrit. They were usually called the people from over there, from across the river. Okay? Then it began to be identified with a group of people, but not right away. So when the black Hebrew Israelites say that they're Hebrews, do they know the history of the word itself, that it actually meant people from across the river, which is what? The Tigris and the Euphrates River, across the Mediterranean Sea from Africa in the Middle East or Mesopotamia. Okay, so I hope that part is clear. Okay, so let's continue
so, Dr.
this.
So, Dr. Smith, what you're saying is that geographical area, when Abram had migrated from that area and across the river, when they used the term Hebrew, they were saying he from the other side or from across the river, and anybody that came from that side would be considered the Hebrew from the other side of the river. Is that correct?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
100% correct. Allow me to say this too. Even people who were not connected with Abraham, it is said, were also called those from across the river or those from the other side. Of the river. We're talking about the river Euphrates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we know who Abraham is. We know where he came from, you know. Okay, so Abraham traveled. He's in Canaan, where we now call the land of Israel. And Abraham had a son. His name was Isaac. So Genesis chapter 21, verse 2 through 5. "For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, and the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham named his son Isaac, who was born from Sarah." So Abraham was about 100 years old when he had his son Isaac. Okay. Then his son Isaac, when he was 60 years old, had a son. And let me read that. Genesis chapter 25, verse 24 through 26. We're talking about now. Isaac is a grown man now, and he had. Let me back up a little bit here. Okay, Abraham had Isaac. Okay, Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob, at first, and that is Genesis chapter 25, okay, verse 24 through 26. "When the time came for Rebekah to give birth, there were twins in her womb. The first came out reddish all over, like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. When his brother came out with his hand clenching his heel, they named him Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Jacob was born." So now we have the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So now we're about to discover about from the Hebrews to the Israelites. Okay, so when Jacob is a grown man, he had a dream that he was wrestling with God in his dream. He was wrestling with God. And in this dream, in Genesis chapter 32, verse 27 through 28, it says this. You know, in this dream, he's wrestling with God. And there's a conversation going on here with God. And he said to him, God said to him, basically, "What is your name?" And he said, "My name is Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall not longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have you have struggled with God and with men, and you have prevailed. Now, the word Israel means may God prevail or contend. So Abraham's or Jacob's name was changed from Yaakov in Hebrew, or Jacob, to Israel, which means my God prevails. Okay, so now he's called Israel. This is where we get Israel from. But there's no land called Israel. He's just a man called Israel. But he has 12 sons called the 12 sons of Israel. And we read about the 12 sons in order in Genesis 49. We read about them. However, it was Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, who was the fourth son, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Okay, so you have the 12 sons of Jacob, or 12 sons of Israel, and the fourth son, Judah, became more stronger, more successful than his brothers, and thus you have the tribe of Judah, where we get the word Jew from. Okay, so Judah established his own tribe. So did the other sons. How they did that, that's the question of studying history. How they grew into their own individual separate tribe called the tribe of Judah. So around 931 BC, you had the nation state of Israel. And the nation state of Israel split up into two halves. The nation state of Israel was called the B'nai Israel, or the sons of Israel. And in 931, Solomon died, and his son Rehoboam took over from Solomon, but a conflict broke out between another man by the name of Jeroboam, and Israel split into two nations. One called the B'nai Israel, or the northern tribes, which had 10 of the tribes. And then you have the Yehudim, or the Jews, who had the southern tribe. And they were composed of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. Levi was not a tribe. It was a priestly order, but they followed Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, and they established the southern tribe of Israel. Okay, so you got 10 tribes, you get the southern tribe. Now, during this time, now people wonder this. Well, why is, okay, if you have one tribe called Judah, and then you have the other tribes, why all Israelis called Jews? If Israel was a nation of their own, they split up, they were called the B'nai Israel, sons of Israel, and then you have the Yehudim, or the Jews. Why are all Israelis called Jews? One reason is because of this. When the tribes split up in 931 BC, a number of the tribes, or portions of the northern 10 tribes, migrated and joined with Judah. And you can read about this in 1 Kings chapter 12, 2 Chronicles chapter 10. And beginning in 2 Chronicles chapter 10, you read about, through Nehemiah and Ezra, those books, you read about some of the tribes leaving the northern 10 tribes and joining up with the tribe of Judah. Thus, the Israeli tribes, B'nai Israel, joined up with the tribe of Judah. Now, Israel can be called Jews because they have joined up with the tribe of Judah. However, so let's talk about the 10 northern tribes for a second here. The 10 northern tribes begin, all of their kings were evil, if you read about them, all of them. The 10 northern tribes had some terrible, horrible kings. And they began to worship Dagon and Tehushtan and Chishmosh and all of these different foreign gods. Then in 722 BC, God allowed Sargon II of the Assyrian Empire to invade the northern 10 tribes and take them into captivity. The northern 10 tribes, their city was, or their main capital was Samaria. And so this is where you get the Sumerians from the invasion of Sargon II, 722 A.D. He took the northern 10 tribes into Assyria, and he left remnants of Assyrians there with some Jews, and they intermingled together, and they are what we call Samaritans. Okay, so they were taken into captivity because of their worship of foreign gods. Oh, a couple hundred years later, the same thing happened to Judah. They began to stop worshiping their God, Yahweh. They veered from the law of Moses, and they began to worship foreign gods. And God allowed three invasions on Judah, 606 B.C., 597 B.C., and 587, when Nebuchadnezzar invaded them three times. The second invasion took Jeremiah. The third invasion took the prophet Daniel into Babylon. Now they're dispersed, and they call them the lost tribes of Israel. But they are really not lost. They were scattered in the Middle East, and some of them did migrate to other countries over a period of time. So there you have it. You have Abraham the Hebrew was not a people group at first. It was a geographical location. They began to be identified as Hebrews. They took that name on and became this people group, and they did speak their own language of Hebrew, which developed. Now, there's controversy behind that. Some rabbis believe that Hebrew is the original language that God created the heavens and the earth with. Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim v'et-ha'aretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. They believe because it was written in Hebrew that it was also spoken in Hebrew. Okay, maybe not. Some believe, linguists believe, that Hebrew was a language that developed from Aramaic and the Akkadian language, because Middle Eastern languages are what we call homogeneous. They have the same morphology, word formation, and syntax, word order. So they're all sort of related to each other. If I showed you a chart of ancient Paleo Hebrew, it would shock you, because you would see English alphabet embedded in ancient Paleo Hebrew. In other words, Hebrew was what we call the root language or the parent languages, and all the other languages were receptor languages. However, we don't want to get into linguistics. But so, from Hebrew, identified as a people, again, not from North Africa, not from West Africa, or anywhere in the continent of Africa, but from Mesopotamia. Abraham migrated to Hebrew, migrated to Canaan. There he had a son, Isaac. Isaac had a son, Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Israel established a nation of people over a period of time. His fourth son was Judah. Judah was just one of the tribes until the split of the nation of Israel. And when they split, Judah was dominant as the southern tribe, and about three of the 10 tribes migrated to Judah of Israel. They become Israeli Jews, and that's where you get Jews from. Still, this is not in North Africa. Egypt, Libya, Algeria, Tunisia, and Morocco, or West Africa. It is in what we call the Middle East. So the black Hebrew Israelites call themselves a name. They may not understand what it is. They call themselves Israelites, which really is a nationalistic identification. When you say Israelite, you're talking about I'm an American, or I'm from Uganda. You're identifying with a nation. So are they nationalistic when they say they're Israelites? Well, I don't agree with that. I don't think so. Okay, so there you have it. You have from Hebrews to Israel to Jews. So now, where do all these Jews come from? Remember, it says that Abraham will be the father of many nations, that his descendants will be like the sands of the sea and the stars of heaven. So what that is saying is that, yes, the Jews are going to spread across the earth, from Hebrews to Israelite to Jews to Judah, the Yehudim, they're going to spread across the earth. That's why they're called the sands of the sea and the stars of the heavens. So that in that case, being a Jew is not a racial identity. See, a Chinese person can convert to being a Jew, but a Jewish person cannot convert to being Chinese. Because Judaism or being Jewish is not a people group. It's not a race. It is a religious belief that is thousands of years old. So you have white Jews and you have black Jews. You have Jews in India. You have six Jewish tribes in India itself. You have the B'nai Israel in East Africa and in Ethiopia. You have the Limba tribe in Zimbabwe. The Limba tribe, their history is over 1,000 years old. They're in Zimbabwe, Mozambique, South Africa, Malawi. So you have Jews of across Africa, and you have the Jews in Europe called the Ashkenazi Jews or the Khazarian Ashkenazi Jews, and they date back to 745 A.D., So in Judaism, any time a person converts to Judaism, they must be baptized, they have to be circumcised, and they must follow the law of Moses. Okay.
Excuse me,
we're having a break.
For a moment. The music is coming in. We have a moment of break. We're going to pick back up after the break. Stay tuned in to the Final Authority. I will dial in and I will share some things with you also. But again, this is Dr. Smith giving some historical background, some crucial information to update us and to inform us on some pertinent information you need to hear. Stay tuned in until after the break. God bless.
Yesterday I was thinking about you, reminiscing about the good times, all the bad times you brought me through. In the midst of them all, you were always there, honey, to remind me that I can make it on my own. When I felt all alone, you were there beside me. In the midst of my storm, you calm the raging sea. How can I repay you for the protection that you give? Made a decision, for you I'm gonna live. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm sometimes down, oh, but you never let me feel as if I was nothing, for you're always around to lift my bowed down head, to fill my heart with gladness. With you in my life, it makes a living worthwhile. So for the rest of my life,
for the rest of my life,
said I'm going to make it up.
Thank you.
You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNRadio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs of Q.
Okay, all right. Well, praise God. Thank you for staying tuned in to the Final Authority. Again, we have my guest, Dr. Reggie Smith, who's giving us some very sound historical background on some very pertinent information so that we can understand some things about the group called the Hebrew Israel, who call themselves the Hebrew Israelites, and showing the fallacy and the error of their position that they hold to, and giving us background and context of Abraham the Hebrew, who came from the other side of the river, from the Euphrates and Tigris River crossing over. He was a Hebrew. It wasn't a nationality, even though at some point in time down later it became known as a group of the people who spoke a certain dialect and what have you. So insightful. Before we give you back open to Dr. Smith and let him continue in that vein, we have a caller. We want to welcome Mr. Ray Robinson, who's called in. So, Ray, you're on the air. Welcome to the Final Authority.
Thank you much. Thank you very much, Pastor Everett, and good evening to you, Reverend Reggie Smith. I just called in. I do not have a question. I'm just grateful. I have a friend here, an extended family member that's listening in as well. I just wanted to thank you for taking the time, as we are learning a lot more. These are questions that are being answered, so I don't have any questions, but you're providing a lot of good contextual and a lot of historical information that is sound, and I'm just grateful because without coming up with the questions, you've already answered them. So I just wanted to thank you too for taking the time to be on the air to share this rich information, and compliment you on your dedication and your studies for having the knowledge to be able to share this with the world. That's all.
Amen.
All right. Thank you,
Mr. Lane. We appreciate
thank you so
that.
Much.
This is some good stuff. Keep up the good work.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Ray. God bless you.
Amen. Amen, bro. God bless
peace
you.
Peace and blessings. Yeah, it's very insightful just having one who has done the due diligence to get the historical data and get the factual data geographically, historically, and line it up, showing the biblical perspective that is so important. It's very important that we do due diligence and study not only the scriptures, but also historical data, which ties in together with the biblical record to give us a sound view. And so, again, I want to thank you, Dr. Smith, for what you have shared and what you are sharing. I'm going to let you continue in that vein, and then I'll kick in and share some information with the listeners. Dr. Smith, back into your hands, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you for the brother that just called in. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
However, I was speaking on being Jewish, that a person can't just pop up and say, I'm Jewish. Well, I know one person that says, well, God told me I was Jewish. And I'm telling you, I don't think God told you you're Jewish. Okay, I didn't say that to her, but I heard it and said, no, I don't know about that to myself. But being Jewish is not a race. And so you can convert to being Jewish, but you can't convert to being black. You can't convert to being another race, but you can convert to another religion. Therefore, when a person converts to being a Jew, then if it's a woman, the child is automatically a Jew when they're born. For instance, Jesus did not have a physical father, but yet he was still born Jewish. Because in Judaism, the religion is through the mother, the blood is through the father, which is why Jesus did not have a physical father, because in the line of his father Joseph was Jeconiah, and Coniah, that he goes by both those names. He was cursed by God, and God told Coniah or Jeconiah that no son of yours will sit on the throne. Therefore, Joseph's bloodline could not bear the Messiah physically. So therefore, you have the virgin birth, whose Mary's bloodline went through Nathan to King David. So Jesus was Jewish because his mother was Jewish. So therefore, we have to ask the Hebrew Israelites, if they're claiming to be either Hebrew or Jewish, because Hebrew is connected with being Jewish, Is your mother Jewish? Because if your mother's not Jewish, then you cannot be Jewish according to Judaism and according to Jewish tradition. So that's another one there. The thing is this, how come we cannot just be proud of who we are, but we have to try to identify with another people, but they are black Jews. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they are not, but can you prove how come we can't be proud of who we are as West Africans or from Angola or the Congo? Congo is kind of like central, and but Angola, which most of the slaves came from Angola, 24%, but 4.8 million went to, or something around there, over 4 million went to Brazil, okay? We, the U.S., we only got so many of the, from the African slave trade. We're the Wolof, the Bambara, the Papua, the Bola, the Balante, the Seer. How come we cannot be proud of who we are? 24% of us came from Nigeria, came to the United States. 16% from Ghana, 13% from Senegal and from Gambia, 6% from Sierra Leone. How come we can't be proud of being one of those people, the Shamba tribe, the Fon tribe? Most of the Fon tribe went to Haiti and Trinidad, but we have Shamba people in the United States. We have the Igbo from Nigeria. Oh, we have Yoruba. We're Fulani. A lot of Fulani came to the United States, the Wolof tribe, who are mainly in Senegal and Gambia, but they came to the United States. The Mandi, you ever heard the word Mandingo?
Yeah.
Pastor, have you heard the word Mandingo?
Absolutely, I have, yes.
Okay, well, Mandingo is a English distortion of the correct name, which is Malanke. The Mandi and the Malanke tribe was a tribe in Mali, and they were... this is one of the tribes that were taken. The Bakongo tribe and the Emunda tribe went into Brazil. Some came, but you know that the majority of the slaves in South Carolina were from Angola. They arrived there in 1526 by the Spaniard to grow at a plantation to harvest sugar. So we've been around for a long time, but can we prove that we are from that people group that were mainly in the Middle East, and some of them migrated, you know, to Africa. Like, for instance, 1492, you have the expelling of the Jews from Portugal, Spain, and Sicily. The ones from Portugal were dropped off somewhere around Ghana, okay? But very few of them were around there. Most of the African Jews began in Ethiopia, which is East Africa, 930 years before Jesus, called the Beta Israel in Ethiopia. So the thing is this, can we actually prove it, or can they actually prove that they're Jewish? If their mother's not Jewish, they can't be Jewish. You can't make up a tradition that's 3,000 years older than you.
Yeah.
Right? So that's basically, and there's a lot more information concerning this subject. But my brother, I'm going to hand it over to you as far as the theological, more of the theological part.
Well, I think what you have shared was so pertinent, so crucial and insightful for those of us who have not heard these things. And the insight that you shared was so crucial, and I think that it really helped a lot of people. For those who have tuned in, you can also go back to the archives and tune in to this particular program entitled Hebrew Israelites versus Biblical Christianity, and this is part three. But what I'd like to delve into right now is over in the book of Galatians, where the Apostle Paul, he makes a profound statement in these three verses that I want to read. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through verse 28. He says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized or placed into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek,
There's neither bond nor free.
Right.
There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, in verse 26, Paul is writing to a body of Gentiles whom he had preached the message of the cross of Christ to. He shared the message of the cross of Christ about the sufferings of Christ, the crucifixion of Christ, the death, the shed blood, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. These Gentiles had come to faith in Christ. And Paul says, you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, willingly laid his life down for us on a rugged cross. All
yeah.
of your sins was placed on Christ on that cross, and he was judged by the Father for all of our sins. Thus, he satisfied the demands of God's divine holy justice. His blood was shed to remit your sins and to redeem you to the Father. Christ was buried, and on the third day, he rose again from among the dead. When you come to the conviction of the person of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he done, and you are under conviction by the Spirit of your desperate need of Jesus as your Savior, because apart from Christ, you realize I can't save myself or redeem myself from my sinful state before God. It's not about what I could do. It's about what Christ has done for me in my place that the Father God has accepted. And Paul
yes.
is saying, you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, not by your racial identity, not by religion or any observation of any law, is solely contingent upon the sacrificial, substitutionary, redemptive death and shed blood of Christ on the cross. He lays that out in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, when he says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. You see, God had a standard of perfection and holiness. So God gave his law. No man could measure up to the law. The law was never given to make you righteous or to make you perfect, because it can't. It shows you that you are sinful and that you can't measure up to the standard of God. You will come under God's judgment and wrath. So thus, you need a Savior who can save you, deliver, and redeem you from the judgment of God. And that is the person of Jesus Christ. So Paul says, for Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So all that Christ done on the cross was for us. Okay? And so Paul says here in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, you are all the children of God. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your ethnic background, what part of this planet you live on. You hear the message of the cross of Christ, and you come to a true, genuine, authentic faith in Jesus Christ. Paul says you are a child of God. So it's not based upon what local church I go to or any religious ritual that I fulfill, any works of the law that I might attempt to keep or observe. It's my faith in Christ. So I rest my faith on the person of God's beloved Son, Yeshua, Jesus the Christ. So then he says in verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. See, we're all one. So it's not based upon whether you're a Hebrew, Israelite, or what tribe you're from. God is not looking at any tribes to determine whether he accepts you. God's acceptance of you is only
yes.
in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, with that said, let me show you something over in the book of Romans, chapter 9. In Romans chapter 9, this is so crucial. In Romans chapter 9, I'll read verse 30. Paul says, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. Now, Paul said these Gentiles were steeped in idolatry, all right? They were alienated from God, and Paul says that these Gentiles, they follow not after righteousness, but he says they have attained to righteousness. even a righteousness which is of faith. Well, how did they attain to a righteousness that they did not follow or seek after? How do you get something and you don't go after it? So it says the righteousness which is of faith. Well, what did they get the faith for? And faith in what? To have this right standing with God. Righteousness is right standing with God. So he says in verse 31, Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Verse 32 says, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him, who, that stumbling stone, that rock of offense, shall not be ashamed. So, here it is, the Gentiles. These people are barbaric. They are in all forms of idolatry and abomination. But Paul says they were not even following after righteousness, but they attained to righteousness, even a righteousness which is of faith. But in Israel, they have the law of righteousness, but they didn't attain to it. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith. Well, how did the Gentiles did not follow righteousness and attain to it? Well, Paul went and preached the message of the gospel, the good news of Christ to them. They came under true biblical repentance and a genuine, authentic faith in the gospel message that Paul preached to them, and they attained to the righteousness, which is a faith. What? They placed faith in Christ, resulting in right standing with God. But yes. Israel, they follow after the law. They're basing everything upon the works of the law. They're doing all they can, and yet and still, they never attain to righteousness. Why? Because they all sinned and came short of the glory of God. Every last one, Jew and Gentile, they all came short. Okay? It says, now, they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. What is this saying? They stumbled over the fact that you're telling me that this Jesus, this Yeshua, called the Messiah, nailed to a cross and had my sins placed on him, and he was just and died on the cross, that I can attain to a righteousness just by believing on him. They stumbled over that because they prided themselves based upon the fact that they were Jews, that they were circumcised the 8th day, that they had the service of God, the priesthood, they had covenants, that all these things. And yet and still they missed the mark because Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament law. And so he came as a reality. The Old Testament law was a shadow. Christ is the reality. The Old Testament was a picture. Christ is the reality. Are you going to hold to a picture or do you want the person of Christ, the reality? Okay? And so they just couldn't, they prided themselves upon their work. All right? Well, God's not going to accept you based upon your works. Works is good within its place, but it's not good when you reject the very unique Son of the living God and what he has done for you on the cross. So it's not based upon my works. It's not based upon whether I'm a Hebrew Israelite or from any other tribe. My salvation is solely contingent and exclusively contingent upon the person of God's Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God who has taken away our sins. So, So Israel, they stumbled at the stumbling stone. And it says in verse 33, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. It is considered an offense to an Israelite, to those of Israel who said, wait a minute, you mean to me I was brought up in Judaism and I was raised in and under the Mosaic law and these rules and regulations, and you're telling me that a simple, authentic faith in Christ is sufficient for my salvation and redemption and right standing with God? Absolutely. This is the message that Paul preached. Okay? Now, so Paul makes another profound statement in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, and we're almost close to the end. Oh, wow, I wish we had more time, but time is closing out. But let me share this with you over in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 real quickly. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, I want to read verse 13. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. So the Jews who were circumcised in Israel considered the Gentiles uncircumcised. They didn't have a covenant with God. Okay?
Wow.
So it's the covenant of circumcision. And Paul says, at that time, you Gentiles were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Thank God for what Jesus Christ done for us on the cross. For he, Christ, is our peace. Who has made both what? One. Who? Jew and Gentile, one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There was a middle wall that divided Jew and Gentile, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he, Christ,
yes,
might reconcile both, Jew and Gentile, unto God, how? In one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So what we're looking at is because of what Christ has done for us on the cross, he,
yes,
on that cross, broken down the middle wall that separated Jew and Gentile. God's not looking at you based upon the color of your skin or what tribe or
right,
family you're from. He's looking at, do you have a genuine faith upon what I have done for you on the rugged cross? See, when you come
right,
to true biblical repentance and faith in Christ, it's the Holy Spirit that places you in Christ. So the fact that you have come to faith and I have come to faith in Christ, we are all children of God. We are all one in Christ Jesus. It's not based upon whether you Jew, Gentile, male, female, bond or free, whether you're free man or bond man. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ. So everything is centered on the person of Jesus Christ. All right? So it's very important to understand the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's very important. And there's other passages that we want to talk about. We got to close out because time is closing in on us again. But I want to express my appreciation and thankfulness to Dr. Ricky Smith, who has really done some due diligence and shared some very insightful information with us. The final authority, we air live every Monday, specific center time, from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. You can tune in every Monday live unless otherwise indicated. But also, you can go back and listen to our archives, okay? So, Dr. Smith, is there anything in closing that you would like to say? And we'll just go from there.
Well, no, sir. I think that I just praise God for you teaching the theological part of, you know, from the historical part. I think the theological part is more important because this depends upon their soul being lost or being saved if they get it right with Jesus Christ, as you just explained it, because the black Hebrew Israelites, either they believe in Judaism or a mixture of Judaism and Christianity or a mixture of black nationalism and Judaism, and they completely miss Christ. And there's no name given to man that under heaven other than Jesus Christ that you must be saved. So it's about,
amen,
Jesus. It's not about the law. And I just praise God that you did the most important part of this program concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and their acceptance or rejection of him.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless. I think that all of it has its importance, but in its context, it's very important that we share the message of the gospel of Christ without compromise. And Paul says that if any man preach any other gospel than that which I have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And so the gospel message that we preach is all centered on the person and the work of Christ on the cross. Well, we have to close out. We'll continue next time. We'll see you again on next week, Monday, from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at the Final Authority. Until then, remember, God's word is God's final authority to you. Hold fast to the word, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. May Christ be glorified in your life. Amen. God bless.
God bless. Amen.
Amen.
You're listening to QLJNRadio.com.
The Hot News Q.
It's time for Final Authority, a biblically based program that speaks to questions from you.
Thank you for listening to Final Authority. We hope you enjoyed our program. Join us again next Monday, right here on the Hot New Q. QLJNRadio.com. You're listening to the Hot New Q. QLJNRadio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.